Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Let's freaking go. A former ACC safety who has long awaited his opportunity to come on an SEC channel. His name is Michael Felder. We have been doing radio spots together for well over a decade, and this is your first time ever on one of my live streams. It's so good to have you, brother.
Dude, it's great to be here. I'm excited. I made dinner early. You know what we had for dinner tonight?
What's that?
Chop in papillon.
Well, what is that?
It's, you take parchment paper, you stuff your trout, and then you put vegetables outside your trout, and you wrap it in parchment paper, and you basically bake it in the oven. It was very good. And then the leftovers are going to go into a wrap tomorrow.
Let's go. When I was still doing radio in Arkansas, you drove my listeners into a tizzy.
Yeah.
When you said, I've always wondered if I could cook a platypus.
I still wonder that, and I still want to do it. So I'm not bothered by it.
Why platypus? What, you were just live and you were just saying, you know, I've always wondered this.
Dude, there's so many animals that I just wonder what they taste like. Platypus, for sure. I know what elk tastes like. I know what moose tastes like. I know what bison tastes like. But I don't know what a platypus, I don't know what a giraffe tastes like. I don't know what a giraffe tastes like. I don't know, does zebra taste different? I've had horse, but I've never had zebra. I don't know what they taste like. What's the difference? So, like, you know, the whole point of being a human is your experiences. And for some people, their experience is like getting a passport, which, by the way, I have to renew my real ID, which I do have, though. At least I have it. But with so many people, it's like, I want to go and see the Eiffel Tower. I'm like, yo, I want to see what this panda meat talking about.
Are you sure you're not from Louisiana?
I mean, I've got family that lives in Louisiana. They live in Slidell. Okay. And my grandma grew up in Mississippi. She my grandma from the SIP. I'm from my dad and his dad are from Houston County, Georgia.
Okay.
So like that whole like little cut through. Yeah. I'm still there.
I love it. I want to get back to the horse thing, but you played football, obviously, in North Carolina.
Yes.
And you love the ACC.
No, don't put that evil on me, dog.
Why? I guess it's been so long since we've talked, but what?
I know a lot. There's a huge difference between knowing a lot about something and loving it. Right? You know what I'm saying? I know.
Well, let's dive deep. So
yes, sir.
You're not a fan of all the ACC's moves and actions, I'm guessing.
Well, no, it's not even that. And to be honest to you, Carter, like the biggest thing for me is like I see the ACC moves wildly, and I think we're going to see some big moves where the ACC takes a huge step back in the future, in like the next 2-3 years. But no, I love getting to be a part of the ACC that I was a part of, but this isn't the same ACC that I was a part of. And so I'm now a spectator, especially because I work in sports media. Like, I'm not afforded the luxury of, like, I'm not, like, when you, if you see me at ACC Media Days, I'm not some fanboy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not like, oh yeah, oh my God. No, I'm a lot more like, where can I dig information from? And then between my friends, my teammates, and the people that I know that are higher up, like, I look, do you want to get into Belichick first? Like, let's do that.
Yeah. Go on ahead. Yeah.
We got, they did a FOIA for people that know, that don't know, Freedom of Information.
Okay.
And Freedom of Information, they got that. And there was a, there was someone who graduated from UNC in 1977. So hang on, I got to get the calculator out. 1977. Hang on, that's not even how you do that. God dang, they didn't teach me nothing. 2025 minus 1977. So they're a 48-year-old grad, almost a 50. They've been out of UNC for 50 years. They've been given to this school every year in a graduating number. And they got upset with the Jordan Hudson situation. And they were like, this is not, like, we're a laughingstock. This is ridiculous. There's one thing that can fix this. Wins. That's it.
That's it.
That's the only thing that can fix it is wins. So we'll see what happens. But when you have a lady, and that's the other part I think about. So if she, let's say she graduated UNC in 1977, right?
Yeah.
1977. I'm not good at math, dude. I'm realizing this. 2025 minus 24. 2001 minus 1977.
I'm just letting you do this yourself because I'm not good at math either.
My parents are going to be so mad when they listen to this. 2025 minus, what did I say?
1977.
Minus 1977.
Is 48. 47.
Minus 24. Just 24. Do you think that lady wants to hang out with a 24-year-old?
No.
In UNC, I know that this exists in the SEC as well. At Alabama, at Georgia. I understand that. It's hard. These ladies are like, I'm not hanging out. These ladies who are 50 years old don't want to be around a 24-year-old.
No. Especially.
Especially this one.
Yes. Exactly. And,
you got me riled up. I had to take my hat off.
Dude, this is what we used to do, man. Your segments back then were legendary on my show. I owe you a lot, man, for that. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I'll have 1,000 different experts on to talk Clemson. Hey, drinks up to you, man. I'll have 1,000 experts talking about Clemson until then. But
I love Kate Klubnik, by the way.
Yeah, of course, and I do too. We're obviously I could be fans of his and the fake Death Valley, but I got my guns ablazing, man. My takes are still scorching.
Savage.
Yes, I will tell you this though: there is no story in college football more fascinating than Belichick and North Carolina.
Yeah,
I get these countdown graphics and like alerts.
Yeah.
One that just shook me to my core was just I don't remember which media organization it was. It says 2 months from now, we're going to be watching Bill Belichick coaching a college football game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nuts to me. It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, that part's nuts, but like the reality of it is will we? Cause see, here's the thing. I'm plugged in local.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There's still folks that don't think he's going to coach a game. He got this job to give it to his kid. We don't do that here. You're not allowed to do coaching waiting. So when the buyout goes from 10 to 1, $1 million, he puts his black card down. He's like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do, hire somebody else? No, you go hire my kid. So we'll see how that plays out. But I like to like try to be straight and narrow. If he goes out and coaches, I don't know what this looks like with Gio Lopez, kid from South Alabama.
Yeah.
And a defense that honestly couldn't tell you the best player right now. They also didn't show us who their best player was at all in spring. So we have no idea what their defense looks like, but I do know that he's a good coach. And I do trust that he's a good coach. But it feels insane. But I also know that he knows how to handle people.
True.
He hates people. But, I mean, this is a guy that worked with Lawrence Taylor, Rob Gronkowski, obviously Tom Brady, Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, and that guy.
Yeah. Like, one of his top five players just, like, killed some people. Like, okay.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but just the way he said it was kind of caught me off guard. But that's
the reality. Like that's yeah. reality. But guess what? He found a way to make like if he can get that guy to go, I think he can get some other guys to go.
Yeah, and I just knew when he took the job, it was going to be hire my sons, but I didn't think it would be like. Mike Lombardi's coming to run the show as well. Yep.
And then the other schools that followed suit and got their own GMs.
Ron Rivera.
Yep.
Out on the West Coast.
It's hard.
So I'm guessing you are not as enthused about North Carolina football. Are you? Are you excited?
It's not about enthusiasm for me. They're a part of my job. What I'm looking at is what this looks like. If this team comes out and plays really good defense, I know that that means that Bill Belichick has had his hands all over the program. If they don't play good defense, then they're going to have a real problem. That's what I'm looking at. If they don't play good defense, they're going to have a real problem. That's what I'm looking at is you have to play good. They better be the teams that we saw, like New England, play really good defense, and then the offense was like, we'll figure it out. And that's my mindset. I just did a thing. I wrote it for Substack, but it was like Nina Pinta and Santa Maria, right? You have ever seen Step Brothers?
Yes, of course, yeah.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the terms of quarterback transfers, I think Carson Beck is the Santa Maria. I think Nico is the Pinta, and then Gio is the Nina. And the Nina was the small, maneuverable, fast one. And I think he can be that for UNC. And so if he is that, that's a good thing. I also think that if you throw in to, like, piggyback off that, if Nico, who played his cards hard, oh, my goodness. We had a neighborhood poker night with our friends, and my wife was like, you can't just go all in all the time. And I was like, well, I think I should.
Yeah.
And she was like, please don't, because you're going to ruin it for everyone. And I was like, okay. But Nico is the guy that put his cards all in, and they called him, and guess what? He had a pair of twos. Now you're at UCLA. Mm, mm, mm. And then Carson Beck is the guy who he didn't have cards to play at all. He ran aground. They're like, you know what? We're going to use you for parts. Which is, I mean, that's what they did with the Santa Maria, and that's what Miami's doing. Then you get to Miami, and you get dumped. Your Lambo gets stolen.
Mm, lose your girl.
Man, that's tough.
Let's go to our first super chat. Brian says, Clemson structurally reminds him of 2023 Florida State. Elite quarterback, elite wide receiver core, veteran offensive line, and an NFL defensive line,
yeah,
true national title contender.
Absolutely. Totally agree. We're talking, like, you told me you wanted to come on and talk ACC. I think Clemson is one of the teams that we should put into the conversation with Notre Dame, with Ohio State, and with Georgia. I think Alabama and Clemson are going to be vying for that, like, who are our top four? But I think Clemson should be vying for that.
And what stands out to you about Clemson?
Cade Klubnik. I love him. Like, I know it sucks that they lost RJ Mickens. They lost BJ Carter, right? So that sucks. But they've got a quarterback they can trust, a quarterback that they – like, no, hang on. No, I'm flipping this back on you and the person that texted in.
Okay.
What?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Quarterback do you trust more than Cade Klubnik?
Just Garrett, honestly. I think I would have Garrett and Cade tied for the best QBs in college football.
Okay.
I'm fine if you want
to one or two.
Yeah. And that's about where I am. But there's plenty of LSU YouTubers who have said that Cade is just phenomenal. And that includes myself. We did a film study on him this weekend.
He's amazing.
And obviously, to me, that's not really the biggest concern. It's LSU. They lose Will Campbell and all these other offensive linemen.
All these linemen.
And you do a lot of NFL draft stuff, so I know you watched a lot of the LSU offensive line.
Across the stage.
Right. And now you're going up against I'm sure you've done a little draft prep for the next class, Clemson's defensive line that has a few guys, and then I keep forgetting Clemson brought in the Purdue transfer Will Helt. That front is probably going to be the best front LSU plays all next year.
They're going to be thicker than a snicker, dude. Like, I'm telling you, I'm ready for them. I'm excited about them, and they do, because LSU right now, according to 24/7, they are the number one transfer portal team.
Yes.
That's great. It's fantastic. It takes a little bit out of the gate to gel.
True.
It takes a little time out of the gate to gel. So we'll see what that looks like. But no, I am very excited for Clemson. With respect to the ACC, I'm very excited for Clemson. I'm actually in the middle of the other thing I'm doing is watching, like, Florida State.
Yeah.
I don't know how they fix this mess.
Gus. I'm a big Gus guy, but I don't know how this is going to work.
I don't know how they fix this. Have you seen it? Have you,
The revenue stuff all on, yeah.
No, I'm not even talking. I'm talking about just watch them play football.
And okay, so you're not even talking about.
I don't care about the other stuff. Just, like, watch them play football. They look awful. Missed tackles. Missed assignments.
Yeah. I'm not a big Castellanos. I wasn't even when he was playing. and then, like, the most bulletin board material of all bulletin board. Material, and I think that could get overstated, but he gave like literally people are going to Office Depot to buy bulletin boards to actually put that on a freaking bulletin board. Some of the,
I just don't. Yeah, I don't know what this looks like. I will say this, and I don't feel bad about saying about. I think that I love Nussmeier at LSU. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I love Arch at Texas. I think that the state of South Carolina has the best quarterback, best starting quarterback situation going into the season.
Oh, so let's roll in Lenore Sellers, who LSU plays
yes.
in the first half of the season. So yes. you're a big Sellers guy too.
Love Sellers, love Cade. Like this is, they are going to be a problem. And I think that what we could be dealing with going through the schedule, we could be, and maybe LSU gets one of them or gets both. Like we could be looking at an 11-1, an 11-1 matchup. Or excuse me, a 10-1 matchup going into that weekend after Thanksgiving.
All right. So before we let you go, a few kind of feel me things, because you're like me. You love actually breaking down and actually watching the games. And I know about how college football media likes to do that. Give us your thoughts on when you watch Blake Baker over the years as a defensive mind. And then obviously the second part of that is with all these new transfers in, a few from the ACC, Montour Delane from Virginia Tech. How do you think this is going to work next year for the LSU defense?
I like him. I think he is good. Just for the record, I do think he's good. And hang on, I make sure I got it all. La Tech, Miami, LSU, back to Mizzou, and then back to LSU. I think that he is someone who he's been at every level of defense. So we've seen him coach safeties, right?
Yeah.
Linebackers.
Yeah.
Defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is a valuable skill to have, because most guys only coach a thing. I mean, we see it with Aaron Glenn in the NFL, right? He's a DB coach. So he only knows, and it's not debilitating. He knows what he wants those guys to do to help his guys. But with Blake Baker, he knows when I was coaching defensive line, I needed these guys to have a halo over the top and play denial football. And I'll say this, the biggest thing for me in football is denial football. And I learned that from talking to my linebackers and talking to my defensive linemen. So do you understand what I'm saying? Like denial?
Yeah. So basically denial football is preventing explosive plays.
Yes.
Way. Yes.
Preventing explosive plays, making it where you don't have to make a play. You stop them from trying to make that play. And I think that's the thing that he brings to the table, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, especially now, obviously, as we get to the transfer portal. But I do think that there is something in there where we have to start talking about football in a different way, because I love like denial football, and this maybe it's because I was slow, right? So I have to take this away before you can make it become a problem where my athleticism becomes a problem.
Right, right.
I have to take it away so you don't even look over here. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. And I think that's something that he's going to bring to the table. I think that's what makes teams like Wisconsin, Iowa very good, is this idea of you're not even looking over here. And it's not we have a shutdown corner. It's that we have a defense built in that will stop you from doing this. But at the end of the day, it's also the kids got to listen. And you and I have talked about this. There have been times at LSU where kids were like, I didn't come here to play zone.
Yes.
I came here to play man to man, dog.
That's it. Yo, yeah. I'm surprised you even remember us having that.
Yeah.
Oral radio segments are so great.
I came here to play Man to Man, so just let me do what I do, and you just shut up and don't talk to me like this is what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, but you're in cover three, so you're supposed to be back here.
Right.
But right. You're playing man. You can't play man to man if you're in cover three. You can't play man to man if he breaks off at eight and you're in cover four, and you're supposed to stop at 12 and then pick up the next guy. You can't do it that way.
Yeah.
And so it just, I think he's going to get them on that page, the same page, and have them on that page. But I look, LSU's on my list of teams that have to have it this year.
Yeah. I will say I am glad you didn't cover LSU weekly, knowing what the safety play looked like.
Dude, I saw him weekly.
Yeah.
I just didn't write about it weekly. Hang on a second. One of these lights feels like it's about to go crazy.
Well, while you fix that, I guarantee you, you as a former safety, you would have murdered somebody through the screen if you were having to do live streams afterwards.
Dude, it's been several years they've made me want to just punch my television. I was like, my wife would kill me.
Yes.
Great players. Love the players. But, and this is something, I'm not a Mike Leach guy. You know that. But if they're doing it and you keep letting it happen, you're either coaching it that way or you're allowing it to happen. Either way, it's your fault with respect to coaches. And so the big thing for Baker is he has to make sure that he reins these guys in to make sure that, hey, man, if we're in cover three, we're in cover three. Which means, and for people that don't know, hang on, I got it right here. Y'all about to get a treat.
Oh, well, let's go.
Here we go. Let me see what we got here. So, here's the thing. If you're in cover three, if you're in C3, C, C, S, S, I'm drawing it right now.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this guy, he's in the flat. You're here all the way. Nobody gets behind you. Nobody gets behind you. Nobody gets behind you. If you're in this,
yeah.
If this is what you're doing, no problem, right? This is good defense.
Yeah.
The Seahawks played it constantly, and they almost won a Super Bowl because.
Well, they won one.
They won one, but they lost one.
Should have won a few.
And then. No, that's red too. Come on, dude. No, come on. That's pink. That's the same color. Okay. So, here it is. Now, wide receiver, tight end, wide receiver, RB. Now, if this guy... Which one can you see? You can see this one?
Yeah, we can see them all. Yeah.
So if this guy does this and he's like, oh, I'm playing man to man. Oh, wow. Cool. Now what's up? They're both gone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy just runs up here. Where is he at? Where is anybody?
Yeah, there's just nobody there. Hit that.
Because I wanted to play man to man. I wanted to play man to man.
Yeah.
I wanted to. So now, quarterback throws it here. Boom. You know what you have? You know what we call this? That's called a touchdown.
But the corner would say, I had a Meg call. I'm going.
Nah. With- no.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
No, bro. We're in cover three. It's three.
Deep thirds. Let's go.
I need you to stay here unless he gets past 12. If he gets past 12, then sure. But he don't pass 12, bro, stay where you're supposed to be. It's like you have a, like, if you have a kid, you're like, yo, you need to stay. I tell my kid this every weekend. And now for the summer too. You're not getting breakfast before 8. Stay in bed. If you come out of bed, just watch something. Don't put the TV above 9. The volume. Volume don't go above 9. And that's, they don't do a good job of that. They'll be out there putting it on 17 and you're like, "What are we doing?"
Oh man. Before we let you go, I'm not going to get you to do an LSU Clemson prediction. We'll wait a little bit closer if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll do another one. That's fine. Cause I still need to see what these rosters actually look like.
Right.
How hard has this been?
Yeah, it's way harder than what it used to be.
Yeah.
You mentioned you've eaten horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was it? What was that like?
Tastes kind of like goat. Okay. You know that people eat horse in Europe, like,
yeah, regularly. Yes. So when my wife and I were overseas, a Parisian told me that he had horse before, and I was like, "What? Really?"
Yeah.
So there you go.
You tell me you haven't had goat.
Yes. No, I've not had. Well, I've had goat cheese. I've not had actual goat.
Oh, dude, horse is kind of like goat, a little tougher. It's like if you find the happy medium between goat and beef, it's good. But horse is good.
You know what's funny? I was actually, uh-oh, dude. Brian's coming for the jugger. He did super chat, so
okay, I'm ready.
Dude, this was such a good game. And I think what a lot of people mistake it, because Patrick Peterson had a punt return.
Yeah.
And Tyrann Mathieu ended it. TJ Yates did ball out. And y'all had like 12 guys suspended for that game.
Are they? Oh, they asking about 2010?
Yes. Yes.
Dude. So.
Isn't that right? Y'all had like 12 guys suspended.
Yeah. So do you want to hear about on the field or off the field or off the field, off the field?
I want to hear off the field, off the field.
So hang on. I'll start from the beginning. We had a chance to win that game at the end. That's easy.
Yes.
Everybody saw that. And TJ is one of my friends. Like, if I text TJ, like, TJ, he will pick up. Like,
cool.
That's my boy. I love TJ. Two, because I got mad when people were making fun of him when he was with the Falcons. And he was like going through his hand motions on Hard Knocks. And people were like, "Look at this idiot." And I was like, "No, he's going through all the hand motions he has to do to get the play in. Like, don't make fun of this man." Also, he's a very nice man. Don't do that. And then the other one was the way that they treated my former teammates. Or you're all his teammates. The way they treated my teammates with respect to the investigation made me not like UNC very much. They had guys come in and like criminalize themselves or like show information that they should have never been shown. And so the university was like, "We got your back." And they were like, we don't have your back. We're just going to, because they wanted to protect the basketball team.
Oh, so it was an academic thing that's what happened? Or I honestly,
no, they didn't know how to. So this, think about it. 2010. What else happened in 2010?
I don't know. I'm drawing
Cam Newton.
Oh, okay.
Auburn. What did Auburn do? Shut it down. Nobody talked to nobody.
No.
UNC was like, "Oh, we'll play by the rules and we'll help and we'll do this." And they were like, "What?" And that's why all those guys got suspended.
Yeah.
Kendrick Burney, Deontay, like all these guys got suspended. Marvin. Like, they all got suspended because of that. And then the off-the-field, man, I think this was the worst ass whooping I ever got in my life. LSU fans can fight, dog.
Oh, you got, you got, you, you, you
got, I got that. I got beat up in Atlanta. I'll tell you what. Like, ain't nothing like one of those, a Georgia boot? Ain't nothing like a Georgia boot going straight into your eyeball. Like, I had a terrible girlfriend at this time. I go outside to get a cab for them. The hotel is only a half mile away. I go outside to get a cab for my girlfriend and her friends to get there, and I'll just walk back to the hotel by myself. And then I come in, and my girlfriend has poured a drink on somebody's head, and like I'm watching she's a swimmer, so I'm watching one of her male teammates like get his brains beat in. I was like, yeah, this dude. This is terrible. You suck, man. And they were like, yeah, it's because your girlfriend poured a drink on someone's head. And I was like, oh, no. So I get him in the cab. We're good. I was like, I'll just walk back. And then that dude and his friends circled back, and they caught up to me. And they got me. They got me. They got me, and they were beating the wheels off me. It was 1-on-4, and they were beating the wheels off me. And the only thing that stopped is the cab pulled in to see if somebody needed a ride. And it was a Crown Vic, so they thought it was a cop car, so they took off. And I got up and went back to the hotel. My eyeball was swollen. I had a black eye. Everyone was like, what happened to you? And I was like, what do you think happened to me? I got beat up.
So it wasn't any. It was your ex getting into it, and you just dragged into it.
Yeah, you got to show up for your girlfriend.
Yeah, you do.
But it was wild, and that's a different time. I'm not allowed to fight anymore. I'm not allowed to get into fights anymore. And my my wife. Isn't interested in fighting.
Yeah.
She's a very nice lady. She doesn't want to fight people. And me every day, I'm like, man, I wish I could get into fights. Win or lose, I want to be there.
I was at that game, and we were friends. If you would have texted me, I would have had your back, man.
Yeah, well, hey, man.
That's my fault. I feel bad. I feel like I let you down.
You didn't let me down. It's fine. Sometimes you need to get beat up.
You know what? A lot would be better in society if everybody... There's plenty of people that deserve an ass whooping. And it's amazing when you get an ass whooping, all your life priorities just get in order.
Yeah, your shit gets focused and you're like, yo. Okay, I know. Now I know how I have to talk to people. Right? Like, this is how I talk to people, because I can't talk crazy and I can't talk sideways because somebody might actually hit me in the face. And there are so many people. And you know what? Actually, fuck it. I'm sorry I cussed, but this is a PSA. You need to learn that you can't just talk to people sideways, because there's somebody out there. I don't care if his name is Brian or Jamal or Rick or Eric or what. I don't care what his name is. He might punch you. And that is going to be hard for you to handle. The amount of friends that my wife has who have never been in a fight. Ever.
Ever.
Ever. I don't get it.
That makes no sense.
And I'm like, so you've never been in a fight. So you don't even know if you're good at it.
Yes.
I know that I'm not good at it. Bomani Jones, one of my friends, Bomani, he's like, he's like, Felder, you have a 50-50 fight record. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, so why do you keep getting in fights? I'm like, I like it.
Oh.
And he's like, but half the time you lose. And I'm like, but half the time I win. So, six in one hand, half dozen in the other. Know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. I love it. Oh, God. So if you're winning percentage is 500, so
yeah, that's a good batting percentage.
I mean, so how many fights have you been in total?
37, 38.
So it has to be 38 if it's 50.
Yeah, it's gonna be 38. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because remember, we're not good at math. But
no, we aren't.
Yeah. So a 17-17 record. We'll take that. That's good.
I can live with the last fight that I was in. I was 27, I think.
Yeah.
My wife told me the next day, she was my girlfriend at that point. She told me no more fighting. And I was like, well, I don't know. That's, she said no more fighting. But the last fight I was in, somebody danced up on my now sister-in-law. And she was like, Michael, help me. And I was like, yeah, no problem. You get over here. It's a white guy. And he's like, I'm going to go get my friend. He brings up this black guy to me. And I was like, you do know I'm black. Like this, I'm not scared of him. And then, you know what you do when there's two guys in front of you? You know what to do. What do? Two guys. You know. You don't know?
I don't know. I've never been in a two-on-one. I've only done one-on-ones.
No, you punch. Immediately. You don't let them, like, push you into a corner. You hit, boom, boom. Then you tackle one, and then you get on one while the other one, and hopefully your friend's got your back, but you do boom, boom, boom. And then you get him on the ground. Once he's on the ground, then you deal with the other guy. Well, I've been at this bar a lot of times and got a lot of fights, and it's Andrew Blair's in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a guy, Nate, who played football at Clemson. He was a defensive lineman. He picked me up like full in a full Nelson. And he's dragging me out, and he goes, and I said, Nate, can you turn me around so I can see what's happening? And so he just like easily turned me around. And my little brother took one of the guy's heads and slammed it into the mirror and then punched the other guy. And I was like, I've never been more proud of my life, man.
Let's go.
Yeah. So that's the last fight I've been in. So I count that as a win. And yeah, but I'm 50-50. And my teammates always make fun of me because they're like, we saw you get beat up. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's not good. I got punched one time leaving the club and like my whole face was bleeding. And they were like, yo, that guy beat your ass. And they were like, but we had your back, but he did get you. And I was like, this isn't, I was like, why are you guys, you can't make fun of me for this.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. Like I got at least 38 of these stories. I had a kid kick me in the face when I was in third grade. He kicked me in the eye and my eye swole up so huge. And I was like, oh, I'm getting your ass. So I had to go back and get him. But yeah, it's just, this is like lifetime of, not lifetime, I guess. He stopped at 27.
All right, but I'm going to let you be the judge. Do you think John Cisco, do you think John Cisco is a career 3-1-1 as a fighter?
Is John Cisco a 3-1? I mean, who is he fighting?
I don't know.
Who's John Cisco? No, come on. John Cisco, if you're watching, who are you fighting?
Who 3-1-1. I'll take it. BT says he's 11-2.
11-2.
I don't know. I've
are y'all bullies? You're just bullies, is what it seems like.
Brian Brian's not that big of a guy because I'm not that big of a guy. John says
11 and 2 since I've been an adult. As an adult, my whole fight record goes together. Like, I'm not cherry picking. I'm not cherry picking.
No minor leagues. You just straight.
Yeah, dude. Straight. No, are you kidding me? No, what qualifies as an adult? Where do we start?
18. Yeah.
Oh, man. I might be sub 500 as an adult. Because I was the biggest kid in school, and then I got to college, and I was not the biggest kid.
Oh, my goodness.
When I was 18, I got hit by a cop with a billy club in my chest, and I did a backflip. So that's a loss.
Yes, of course.
That's a loss, right? I got hit with a billy club, or not a billy club. What are those things called that come out? I got hit with that across my chest, and I was running full speed trying to get away from the cops because we were underage drinking, and it hit me in the chest, and I did a backflip, and they were like, "Oh!" And this is at a time when police brutality was actually bad in America.
Crazy! Oh my God. Well, you said you had a heart out at 30, so...
It doesn't matter. My kid stays up forever now.
Yeah, so I'm sorry for preventing your dude. Fatherhood talking about your glory days.
You think it's glory days to get hit with a billy club?
No, it's just, I think it is very manly and honorable that you're out here talking about your L's. I like that.
Oh, I take L's. I take L's every day. What are you talking about? Yeah, you don't think I do? What do you mean?
No. I know you do because I do as well. Every one of our segments we've ever done, we're on the same wavelength. I just don't believe Brian is 11-2. I don't know.
What's this one?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's saying I don't count high school stuff, and most of mine was sparring. Well, that's not really a fight.
That's not a fight.
No. Fights. We're talking actual.
Yeah. No.
That's sparring. We're talking
sparring. About... No, I'm talking about like you're like out in the wild. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're out in the wild.
Yes.
Dude, yes. I'm not even gonna count this as a dub. But I was in Chicago when I lived in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 4 years. I hated it. I had to walk this dog. I hated the dog. Dog hated me. I had to walk this dog. It was my wife's dog. I had to go. My wife wasn't going to do it. I had to do it. And then I take the dog out, and it's winter, right? So it's 9 degrees. 9 degrees. And I got the dog bag on my hand. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Got the hate. It's already on my hand because I was like, I need this to be the shortest business trip we could have. And some guy comes. I don't know what other people have been doing. They might have been having their dog, like, you know, take a dump in his space. But I'm walking out there. I already have the bag. I'm going down to pick up the dump. And he goes, yeah, and you need to make sure your dog picks his. You need to pick up your dog poop. And I rose up. I rose up, like, I look like a submarine coming out of the water. Like, I look like an orca. Straight breaching. And I look, and his wife and daughter in the car, I don't care. I said, hey, motherfucker, you don't fucking talk to me like that. I swear to fucking God, you want to get your face beat in? Let's come get some. And he was like, you know how Craig's dad, or not Craig's dad, oh, Red's dad in Friday goes, oh, no. That's what this man did because he didn't realize I was already mad. I got to take the bus every day. I'm taking the bus every day. I take the bus every day. I got to walk a dog that I don't even like every day. I got to pick up poop every day. And you're telling, you want to argue with me? Because you don't even know what's in here. Because I can't yell at my wife. I can't yell at my kid. Yeah. I can't. I'm mad.
Yeah.
I'm mad as hell. And guess what? You caught the wrath. You caught it. And this dude was like, and then for the rest of the time I lived there, he was like, I'm not talking to that. This guy's a psycho. This guy's a psycho.
Yeah. With the dog.
With a handful of dog food. You want some of this? You want some of this, old man?
Oh my goodness. No. Oh, no. I can't believe it.
You want just a handful of it? Because I hadn't even tied the bag up yet. It was open.
And it's funny, my dog just ran in here and out of here. Oh, you did. Oh my god. Oh, it's been too long. Well, like expected, when you said you had a heart out of 30, I was like, I know Felder's just gonna have too much fun talking about yesteryear and all of it. It all started with Ryan bringing up the great TJ Yates.
I love TJ.
Dude, I was so damn impressed. I remember going back to my student radio show.
Yeah.
Saying this dude with 12 suspended guys going up against Patrick Peterson.
Yep.
Whatever we saw of Tyrann Mathieu, that was the first Tyrann Mathieu game.
From back from what? Was that from rehab?
No, that was his first game, period.
Okay.
As a true freshman. And I was like, TJ Yates.
He's good.
Did the damn thing. I was like, damn. This is. It didn't shock me he lasted in the league as long as he did, but
I mean, he's got the Texans their first ever playoff win.
Yeah, I mean, TJ Yates was a baller, man. That was an underrated. So just to give you a background, yesterday, and I'm not kidding at all. I literally just had to go over to the other tab. I had TJ Yates and every quarterback LSU has played since 2007 pulled up.
Yeah.
And that year, LSU played TJ Yates. They played Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. John Parker Wilson. Ooh. So I've been doing research because I feel like the quarterback play just in college football in general has just gotten so much better than what it was in the early 2010s. Do you feel that
I'm not saying you're off. I think that the game has gotten easier.
Yes.
For guys.
I think that's a better way to put it. Yes.
Yeah. Like I will say, I think Arch Manning is better than a lot of the quarterbacks that we've seen. I think Nussmeier's probably going to be one of those guys where it's better too.
Yeah.
I think that what we're seeing is the game evolving to appease lesser quarterbacks. And I don't say that in a negative way. I mean that it's appeasing quarterbacks who have to move is one of their top things. I think Lamar Jackson is amazing. I think his arm talent is insane. I think what he can do is crazy. I didn't think Jalen Hurts would be as good as he is in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think Joe Burrow is what we're looking for, probably. I think Tua, if he can stay healthy, is another one. I think Justin Herbert is someone who got better. And Justin Herbert reminds me a little bit of he's like a plussed up Alex Smith as a guy who got better in the NFL than he was in college. I mean, I still remember Justin Herbert throwing the ball like 6 yards out of the end zone when you have to win the game. And like, if you can't control your arm, that's kind of a problem. I think the middle ground there was Russell Wilson, where it was a guy that people said he couldn't play quarterback in the NFL. And then we watched him go out and really just do it for Wisconsin, and then obviously for the Seahawks. I would throw Matt Stafford. He's from 2008?
Yeah.
And Stafford, but he's got this like mega arm cannon that, like, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. And I think more so I was talking about like Vanderbilt's quarterbacks outside of Jay Cutler used to just be atrocious. And now with the portal,
right?
If you want to go get someone like a Diego Pavia, that's going to raise your floor at the very least. And obviously
right.
what's better than that. Like
Pavia is good.
But it's crazy. Like Oklahoma had the worst quarterback in the SEC.
Jackson Arnold?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're like, F this. Let's go buy John Mateer. And
right.
And I think John's a really good quarterback. And it's amazing. Like you could do that. Transfers existed.
Sure. Miami went and got Cam Ward.
Right. But it's just so much easier now to fix QB for me.
What do you think Carson Beck's going to do at Miami? Because what he's done so far at Miami is get his Lamborghini stolen and his girlfriend dump him.
And overcoming this very weird injury that affects different quarterbacks in
different ways.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't like it was a pretty gnarly injury. Like when you go back, you're like, damn, like that arm is up. So because Beck took a lot of criticism, and I think I'm more blaming Georgia's very inconsistent wide receiver room. That room was just a mess last year, but
For a long time.
Yeah, I
George Pickens isn't a starter until game 10.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of crazy looking back at how they would rotate their receivers. But then again, they also played mostly 12 personnel. So you don't have as many receiver spots out there. Yeah, but
you have a really good receiver.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But yeah, I just think part of it is quarterback play is easier. You can't hit them the same way that you used to. But for me, what I figured out was so many LSU wins that happened in the early 2010s and so on. A lot of it was the other team's quarterback was just beyond atrocious. And a lot of it was also you had Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, Jamal Adams, and so on and so on. It's crazy to me, like, how bad quarterbacks were then, and there's still plenty that suck now. It's just
I was going to say there's a lot of bad ones now.
But I look at the SEC. I'm like, I don't think Zach Calzada is going to be good at Kentucky, but I could see a path forward for all the other 15 QBs. I am a little shocked that
I went.
No, go on. You go on.
I went through. I love Sellers.
Okay.
Nussmeier. Arch. Who else am I supposed to love out of this group?
What do you think about Georgia and Alabama's QB situation?
No clue.
Which is why I asked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No clue. Like, I think Georgia's ahead of Alabama because I like Gunner.
I don't know how to feel about Ty Simpson. I'm serious.
Neither do I. I think Gunner. So I think Gunner ran Carson back off.
Interesting.
So the quarterbacks that work for Georgia, who are they? In the last 20 years, who are the quarterbacks that work for Georgia?
Oftentimes, just like these mid-tier quarterbacks that run the show.
Sure.
The Joe Cox.
You say mid-tier, but you know what they do? Do they fit in with the team? They fit in with the offensive linemen. They get along with the defensive linemen, correct?
Right, yeah.
I don't think Carson Beck was that.
No.
I mean, realistically, we talk about it, And yes, he did. His girlfriend dumped him, and his girlfriend said no one likes him. I don't know if you read that, but his girlfriend said no one likes him. Jake Fromm's from Houston County, and shout out to my family that is from Houston County in Georgia. Stetson Bennett was a walk-on that had to prove and then reprove and then prove again that he belonged there. The team liked him. Like, you have to prove that you belong. If you're gonna play with Jalen Carter, you better prove that, like, I belong here and I care about here. And I think Carson Beck felt like he deserved to be there. And there's a huge difference between deserved and belong.
Right.
And so I think that's the thing that we're watching right now. And I think Gunner is someone that belongs there. Doesn't feel like he deserves to be there. I think he belongs. Like, we saw them in the, when he, did you, you watch the SEC championship game? I'm sure. Right.
Yeah. Stepped in admirably. Yeah.
When he got smoked, top gets popped, helmet comes off. What did he do?
Pop right back up.
Got up. And what did he, what's the first thing he was looking for?
His helmet.
Yeah. He didn't look at the ref. He didn't look for help. He went and got his helmet. And I think that is a moment, to me, that's indelible.
Right.
Where you realize, oh, he's one of us. Even though he plays quarterback, which I will say this, I think quarterback is a specialist position. But he got up and acted like a football player. And so I do think that that locker room is like, we're ready to run with this guy.
Let's specialist go. Position. What do you mean by that?
Punter.
Yes.
Long snapper, kicker, quarterback.
I've often said I think they have more quarterbacks have more in common with them than they do.
Yeah. Yeah. When you really think about it. No. We're on the same page. Like, and it's not a knock on them.
No. It's the opposite, honestly. It's just the reality.
Yeah. You have to train for this one specific thing that you do, and that's it. Everybody else has to work on everything else.
Ironically, special teams in many instances. But I hate that I kept you an extra 30 minutes. but this
it's
happens.
Fun though. We're friends. We've been friends for what are we, a decade now?
And our paths have never crossed. But what if I told you I'm coming to your front step tomorrow in the beautiful state of North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to take me to, because I've always wanted to have North Carolina barbecue. One of my biggest supporters, PHL supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I drop merch and all that stuff, he's the first one to buy it. Lives in, I think, Wilmington, North Carolina.
Was that the coast? Yeah.
Yeah, and he tells me all the time about North Carolina BBQ just laps everything.
Dude, I think we have the best barbecue in the world.
Interesting. So you being a foodie, you agree?
You yeah. Because North Carolina is a whole hog. We do whole hog. If you can't do whole hog, then you do pork butts.
I don't know what that means.
You know what a whole hog is?
Yeah, so you cook the whole hog.
Yeah.
That, I've always wondered that. What that meant? I I'm like, I just like that it's direct. It's
like the exact thing that we say.
Yes, it's like I don't like this food, but I've always loved the directness of it. Meatloaf. I've always enjoyed what
it's is a loaf it? Of meat.
Yes, exactly. It's not like pizza. It's like pizza is just its own term. But
no, we do whole hog. But if you don't have the space to do whole hog, you do pork butts, which are actually pork shoulders.
Right.
But pork shoulders, did he talk to you about the sauce?
Yeah, it's a vinegar-based sauce.
Vinegar sauce, yes.
Yes, yes.
Vinegar-based sauce. Now you can hear it coming out of me now. Yeah, we do vinegar sauce, and like I love. There's nothing better to me than a vinegar, like a pulled pork sandwich with some slaw on top.
Oh.
You put a slaw on top, and you put a little bit of that vinegar sauce on there. Get out of here.
I got to try it, man.
You have to. You know that. So here's the thing. In North Carolina, we have our own burger at Wendy's.
What?
Yeah. We have our own burger at Wendy's. It's called a Carolina Classic.
What? At Wendy's?
At Wendy's. Like the fast food chain.
Yes.
We have our own burger. It's called a Carolina Classic. It's a Wendy's cheeseburger with chili, hot dog chili, coleslaw, vinegar sauce, bun on top. That's your Carolina Classic.
And how is it?
It's delicious.
Oh, God. I got to try it.
Have you ever had a chili slaw dog?
No, not from Wendy's. No.
No, not from Wendy's. I'm talking about like at somebody's house.
Yeah, like yeah, but yeah.
You had a chili slaw dog?
Oh, with the slaw on it? No.
Yeah. Chili slaw dog. I'm telling you. Chili slaw dog? Hot dog, bun, boom, boom. And then you put a little the hot dog chili on there with the coleslaw. Maybe you drizzle a little bit of that on there. Chili slaw dog. There you go. Chili slaw dog.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate your friendship over the years. But more importantly, I appreciate all your success, man. Dude, you've been grinding your ass off and still making this dream that we both have had.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to you. Shout out to your family. I'm glad everything with that is as well. And keep the dream alive, buddy. We'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, well, I'll be on soon. My battery died on my other thing because I didn't plug it in, but who knows. Check out the Substack. It's felder.substack.com. And no, it's always good to talk to you. And I'm telling you, chili slaw dog, you cannot beat it with a stick. It is so good. Like you will, if you have a chili slaw dog or a Carolina Classic, you will lose your mind.
Yeah, I got to try it now. I got to. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. See you, buddy. In the Bleachers is where you could find him on social media. I really appreciate it. So we used to, when I would do radio, Felder was, I think, like the second or third ever guest I had on my first ever radio show at LSU, KLSU. And he would do radio segments with me for forever. And, you know, I don't do a whole lot of guest on here, but I was like, you know what? We got to get Felder on here at some point. And we finally did. Family man. God's got a crazy schedule. And I'm very glad that he spent the extra 30 minutes because that might have been the hardest I've ever laughed throughout an entire interview. I know some of ours with the van had me in stitches, but it was great. Absolutely. Great. Half of it wasn't even college football related. LA Mom wants to talk some DJ Lagway. I should have asked Felder what he thought about Lagway. Man, you want to know what's crazy? And LA Mom knows this because she is a patron. PHL Patreon. Sign up now. So on Twitter, we did a poll recently of who you think, you personally, who do you think is the best quarterback on LSU schedule. And I gave three options and other. I gave Cade Klubnik. I gave DJ Lagway. I also gave Lenora Sellers. Did you know, of all the quarterbacks that LSU plays and has a respectable returning ESPN QBR, DJ Lagway has by far the lowest ESPN QBR of the QBs that are returning. Now, once again, his sample size is him playing as a true freshman, him playing through injury. So everybody should expect him to not have a season ESPN QBR of 58. It is going to get better because he himself is supremely talented. But it is interesting that so many people are baking in a leap. The same way that they are baking in this massive leap for Arch Manning. You're baking it in. You're baking in the environment. The thing that's a little bit different, though, is Arch Manning's environment is really good. Now, I'm not saying DJ Lagway doesn't have a good one. They went out there, got J. Michael Sturdivant as a receiver out of the portal. They get Eugene Wilson back, who, you know, when he was healthy, was really good. But, and Jaden Ball is going to be a beast. Really good running back. It is interesting, though, because I do think maybe we are overvaluing Lagway just a little bit. Maybe. But, man, that kid's got moxie. That kid says and does all the right things. He has that leadership, that playmaking ability. And he tore our ass up with no mobility. It is interesting, Jared, that, yeah, their numbers were very similar. And Van Buren played a tougher schedule. Now, Lagway also played a tough one. The difference is it's impossible to play a schedule tougher than Michael Van Buren did last year as a true freshman quarterback at Mississippi State. So, there you go. Yeah, Chance, if you miss Felder talking about all the fights he was in, including getting his ass beat by some LSU fans, that was some of the hardest I've ever laughed. Sibley's in here. He says, I have a bronze star for valor in combat. Y'all just hanging out playing fighting. Sibley's actually been in it. Like real, real, real fighting. I think when you, because I was messing around with the super chat earlier from Brian. I think when you start talking about fighting, people have different definitions when it comes to fighting. To me, when I think fight, I got into a fight. I think you were in a public place where you fought another individual in that public phase, public place, spontaneously. Okay, that's when I think of when I think fight. Now, there's a difference, obviously, with what Anderson Silva or Canelo Alvarez or whoever, what they do. They do fight, but that is professional fighting. And then, of course, you have fighting for your country. And then, of course, you have what Sibley did, and many of you did. And then, of course, you have, you know, like she showed a lot of fight losing a volleyball match or whatever. There's different types of fighting. But when I think fight, and I have a guest on, and he said, I got into a fight, I'm thinking exactly how Felder described it. We were out in a public place, and we fought. Now, have I been in 38 fights, like Michael Felder admitted, which is crazy that he knows the exact amount. He said it was either 37 or 38, but he said he has a 500 record in fighting, so it would have to be 38. I have not gotten into a fight as an adult. So that's why I kind of bowed out of my own personal conversations, but I actually got in a lot of fights with my friends in high school because I was overly competitive when we would play ping pong and lash out during trash talk and all that stuff. I would be a sore loser. Everybody, welcome Paul E. That's a great photo. Should be a barn burner of a game. Two teams, two situations, roster talent, coaching staffs are almost indistinguishable. True. And it is interesting, Paul, that you bring that up because if you were to talk about which program has more history, which program all time is a better program, I think LSU would still have a slight edge. Obviously, if you were to just look at the past decade or so, Clemson laps everyone outside of Alabama. But yeah, I mean, they're very similar. The big difference, though, is their head coach has natties and ours doesn't. Now, that's really the only difference. But Dabo Swinney and Brian Kelly, if you take out the national championships, they're both equally impressive college football coaches. That's a good way to put it. Let's go to John. You're so right about quarterback play improved immensely with 7-on-7 camps. Yes. And there's all these quarterback gurus or so many private quarterback coaches. It's just like, I think in the NFL, there's always only going to be 10 to 15 quarterbacks that are truly difference-making quarterbacks. And sometimes that number can be in the 20s, and then you have your 5 to 7 elites. I do think in college football, that number can be bigger because there's different levels of competition. There's different levels of offenses. Coaches come and go, so a system can really change a quarterback's outlook. So it is very interesting. Let's go to Brian's super chat from earlier. The battle in the trenches will decide LSU versus Clemson. Yeah, I could definitely see that, especially if both quarterbacks play at the level we think they're going to play. Jared says I'm 0-1-1 in fights all the time. Well, I don't want my wife to fight me because I have to help take apart some furniture here in just a moment. So here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. Big thanks to Michael Felder for joining us tonight. Make sure you go give him a follow at In the Bleachers on social media. Let's see. I want to make sure. I look at my phone sometimes to make sure I don't miss anything. God, I freaking love. Make sure. Okay. I don't think Jared's 0-1-1. He says it's better than 0-2. Yeah, Chance, that was such a weird game. So, and it shouldn't have been because Patrick Peterson had a punt return for a tutty in that game. If I am not mistaken, yeah, I do remember this. First play of the game for LSU, Will Blackwell tears his ACL. It's crazy. And then he comes back the next year, and he's an All-American. Such a weird game. It really was such a weird game. And TJ Yates put up 400 yards passing. That is just insane. Absolutely insane. Now, little did we know he'd be a really good NFL quarterback. I say really good. Really good compared to expectation NFL quarterback, which is crazy. All right, that'll do it for me. We'll talk to you soon. Big thanks to our friends at the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience. Make sure you check them out. XYANImaging.com. It is Pow Out LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches. Let's go. Big thanks to Brian, top super chatter of the evening. Let's freaking go.